Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Amen. Hey, church, I'm excited today. I know I was just looking around. There's many of you that haven't heard my pastor. But several years ago, Michelle and I, through a series of different things that we were going through in our own life, we were introduced to Pastor Tim and Terry, and they have done such a wonderful job over the years of giving wisdom in areas that we were failing in. And we get that by hanging out with them. I'll open my mouth as I do. And then in a matter of a few minutes, he gives me a different way of thinking about it. And you know, there are times I just want to go, I didn't need an opinion there. But in all of life, we need opinions. And we need godly opinions. And we need different approaches sometimes to things that we hadn't even thought about. And so, Tim, I just want to say publicly thank you for the input that you have given Michelle and I. I know that without you and Terry, we would not be married today. And so I'm grateful that we had an example that we followed in your life and what you've done. And just the unloading of the word into our life over the years has just made a big difference. And I'm talking about over 20 years of time. So I am introducing today someone who is the pastor of Christian Ministries Church in Hot Springs. He is actually the senior pastor of the pastors of Christian Ministries in Southwest Missouri and in Houston, Texas. And many other pastors across this country look to him as their pastor. And so we're blessed to have him today. If you don't know him, I want you to come up and shake his hand, let you, because we do appreciate you, Tim, and we appreciate every time you come here. So you come up, deliver the word today. Tim, Terry, we love you. Y'all make them welcome this morning.
It's a blessing. It's a thrill for us to be here. And it's just a thrill for all of us to watch and be a small part of what God's doing. Yeah. And you know, I say it all the time, it just takes more than one monkey to have a circus. And you know, you and I are just one part of what God is doing. And me standing here, you there and what you do, and your part here in the coffee shop, and somebody put the toilet paper in the bathroom, and it, I mean, every area of all that we do here is making it possible for people's lives to be blessed. And it's just, it's a thrill to be a part of that. I probably should have asked you, I think it's 15 or 16 years now that Terry and I have spent the middle week in July with Ashley and Michelle. What'd y'all say, is it 15 years? That's what I thought, that this week in July, we spent this whole week. And this week, I was just marveled at what God does and how God does what he does, because I remember when we first started this, the whole week, and Ash and I'd get up early and stay all day long, just talking, meeting, going over different counseling situations, going over different decisions, going over the finances of the church. And it was every 5 minutes, no, you don't do that. No, that won't work. No. And now I spent the whole weeks. No. That's not what we're going to do. And I've just watched over the last 15 years for us getting to the place where now all this week, as we talk, I would say, okay, now what are y'all doing on Wednesday night? All right, how did you set that up? Okay, how do you choose who's going to, okay, how do you moderate that? Okay, where do they sit when they're on the stage? Show me how this, so it just, I'm watching, and now Terry and I are in the position to receive so much in the direction for our other churches that we're involved in. A lot of that comes from here and the wisdom that I'm gaining from this church. And it's really neat to watch how God does that. Just a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, I called Melly and I said, I just heard a message you preached. Here's a date in August. Here's one in September. Here's one in October. Pick one of those and come preach that at our church. That's the best thing I've ever heard in my whole life. Our church has to hear that. So whatever date you want to come and do that, but here's what you're doing. I hear what y'all are doing, and I, okay, come do that here. So Melanie will be gone here in a little while. She'll be down at our church. and preaching what she's teaching y'all, because our church has got to hear what she's teaching. It's the best thing I ever heard, ever. And our folks, so it's fun to be in a place where you're seeing what God is doing. And watching that coming from 30 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Pure Heart. And I stood up, I clapped, clapped, clapped. Oh, that was all. They did great. And now you come down here and teach our church what you're teaching that church. So I just watch what God does in people's lives, and it's a thrill to be a part. Well, I'm ready to share the word with you today. Are you ready to receive what God has for you? The title of the message today is Epic Failures. In life, we have failures every day, mostly throughout the day, quite a few failures. Some like me, every 15 or 20 minutes, it's a failure. My thought, I shouldn't have said that. Why did I act like that? I shouldn't have handled it that way. I walk out and I go, okay, I shouldn't have done that. I was in a meeting with some other folks, and Chris and Ashley happened to be in there. I get out in the parking lot. Okay, I handled that wrong. Y'all helped me. I was too mean. I was too hard. Every day we got to work on ourselves. We have failures all the time. No doubt about it, Romans 3:23, daily we fall short of the glory of God. And we are, all of us, are a work in progress. But today, I want to talk just for a few minutes with us about what I call epic failures. A failure in your life that still makes it hard for you to sleep sometimes. A failure that gives you bad dreams, and now it's been 25 or 30 years since that happened. You just can't seem to get over that. And you think you have, and you've moved on, but at random times, what you did comes back up to haunt you. True enough, for sure, we all daily fall short. My attitude's just not right. I got mad today. Let's work through that. Let's help that. I got to give myself a little talk. I got to pull myself together. I'm furious right now, and I got to reel it back in. We get that. But I'm talking today is, I don't know. There was a moment in time. I don't know whether you just went brain dead. I don't know whether the devil just got a hold of you in that period of time in your life. There's no excuse. You blew it. You had an epic failure. And now it's been quite a while. It's been years. Maybe it was back in your late teen years. Maybe it was in your early 20s. I don't know. You blew it. But still today, you find kind of being tormented by that. You're haunted by that. I don't know. It's a brief period of alcoholism. I don't know, a drug deal, and you got yourself in it, and then first thing you know, somebody asked you to sell, and now you sold, and you were responsible for getting some people on drugs, and now they overdosed and died. I don't know. Back years ago, you had a divorce. You should have never done that. Your friends told you. You blew it. I mean, it was wrong, and you went through a divorce, and now you're back married, and life is going on, and we're good, but it still is back there, and dadgum, it's tough. I don't know. Maybe it was an affair for you and you shouldn't have done it. It was horrible. I can't believe you did it. You ought to be whipped for doing that. But golly, that was 40 years. That's 20 years ago. I don't know. Maybe you had an abortion back younger and you didn't really understand. You didn't think it through and you did it. And now we know. And now through ultrasounds and stuff, we've got pictures. But now every time somebody brings that up, it haunts you. I don't know, maybe you went bankrupt, lost everything you had. You blew it. I don't know what to tell you. I'm talking about we all, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, because if you didn't hold up your hand, I'd put you in a position of being a liar. We've got some epic failures that we don't really want anybody to know about and we don't ever talk about. And in your mind, sitting here today, you are fully aware that God has forgiven you. You have that knowledge of God's grace. You could teach on God's forgiveness. You understand God's forgiveness, but still it just hangs on from time to time. And me hadn't thought about it for 6 months. And golly, the pain of that comes up. The hurt, the hate, the regret, the pain of that still comes up. Well, there are quite a few epic failures in Scripture that we can learn from. If you've ever read the Bible for about 5 minutes, you're going to come across the fact that God uses imperfect people who didn't just had a bad thought one day, but had what I call an epic failure. And one of the hugest of all hugest is Peter's denial of Jesus. Matthew 26, Jesus knows it's time. He tells his disciples, the soldiers are coming, all of you are going to desert me, but I'll be raised from the dead. You know, and Peter jumps up and, I'll never leave you, Lord, never. And Jesus said there in verse 34, well, as a matter of fact, this very night, you're going to deny me 3 times. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. No way, no way. You know, could Jesus have been more specific? It wasn't like he told Peter that 5 years ago and he forgot. I'm talking about tonight. I mean, right, this is going to be, so you can't say, well, yeah, it was a long time ago he told me that. Oh, man, I forgot that. This is as epic failure as it gets, denying Jesus. And denying Jesus, not once, but 3 times. I mean, 3 times you flat denied that you ever even knew him. I wonder what Peter had to deal with every time he heard a rooster crow. Now, I want you to think about this. Peter wasn't raised and he didn't live in Springfield. He didn't live in Republic. He lived in a place where there were chickens. We're not talking about, you know, he lived in a day and time, and this is going to shock some of you young people. But he lived in a day and time when eggs came from chickens. Some of you, I mean, no, not anymore. They come from the styrofoam deals there in Walmart. Y'all know where eggs come from. It, but you know, he lived in a time, and I mean, I don't mean to be gross about this, but milk came from a cow. It wasn't in a plastic jug and over here. Yeah, milk came from a cow. Eggs came from a chicken, and everybody had a milk cow and chickens in their yard. It wasn't like. You didn't. It's like everybody that was alive had chickens in their yard. So all I'm going to tell you is there was never a morning. There was never a morning. There was never any morning that a rooster didn't crow somewhere. That was given. Cock-a-doodle-doo. I mean, it's just out here. It's just every morning. That's what roosters do every morning. I grew up on a dirt road in a party line. I grew up with chickens. Anybody here from the country? Any of y'all grew up with chickens? Y'all got eggs from a chicken too? Really? Can't believe it. But some of us grew up with chickens right in the backyard. I mean, our chicken house was right in the backyard where you go right out there and get your eggs. So I'm not talking about it was a rare occasion. See, it's the devil has a way of always throwing up your failure to you. He just has a way of throwing up and making sure that your failure never quite leaves your mind. Here goes that rooster. I was a psychology major in college. But the truth is, you don't even have to be a psychology major to know this. I guess every high schooler learned Pavlov's experiment with the dogs. I don't know why that one experiment got to be so famous, but everybody knows that. And the point of that was a conditioned response. And the study was, when a dog's food comes out, a dog salivates with the anticipation of the food. So the dog's food would trigger the salivation glands of a dog. Well, the experiment was to condition an unrelated activity, to condition them to respond. And so Pavlov would ring a bell, and then he would throw food. He'd ring a bell and he would throw food. He would ring a bell and throw food. And over a period of time, then he began to measure their salivary glands and he'd ring a bell and they'd start salivating. A ringing of a bell has nothing to do with the dog salivating, but he conditioned a response. He conditioned a response. And the study showed that we can be conditioned to respond in a certain way. There's no correlation between that rooster crowing. So there's no correlation between that stimuli and our response. But it's interesting how our enemy uses this thing against us. Every morning, no matter where Peter slept, no matter what revival they had that night, every morning where Peter slept, a rooster would crow, bringing up and throwing his epic failure in his face. I mean, you're out to eat with another couple. Nobody's even talking about that. All of a sudden, your face turns red and your heart starts beating hard because you just... Why did you start thinking about your failure right now? Why did that come up right now? Just the devil ringing that bell in your ear. Ringing that bell in your ear and you hating yourself for what you did now 25 years ago. I'll never forget my dad back years and years ago. He had cancer in a kidney and they went into the hospital and removed his kidney and it was a really bad situation. And he was in the hospital for quite a while. And back then, they didn't just do outpatient surgery. You know, they kept you in the hospital for a long, long time. And so he was in the hospital a long time, had a kidney removed, and got out and finally came back home. And he was recovering quite nicely. And, man, he fell apart one day, just hysterical. I'm dying. My mom's, you're not dying. You're doing very well. I'm dying. The smell of death is in this room. I'm dying. The smell of death. I'm dying. And it had to have been only the Holy Spirit. I don't even know how she'd figured this out. But when he was in the hospital, somebody had sent him a eucalyptus plant. Those things smell. So the whole time he's in the hospital, he had this eucalyptus plant. Well, he came home. He's getting well. I mean, this is several weeks later. Somebody sent him a eucalyptus plant. And so my mom put it in his room. She was kind of decorating his room. He was laying in bed there. Well, that smell came back in. What's a eucalyptus plant have to do with the kidney being removed? But that triggered where he was back weeks ago when he was in that hospital fighting for his life. And that smell triggered that response in him. And now we've got an unrelated... Are you hearing what I'm talking about here today? Every morning... Peter was awakened by the reminder of his failure, and that's the way the enemy works in your life. Revelation 12 says, he is the accuser of the brethren. 1 Peter 5 said, he prowls around like a roaring lion, like a rooster crowing, bringing up, throwing your failure in your past to remind you you blew it. The message today is God can recondition your responses. God can recondition your responses. Ephesians tells us you can have your mind washed. Romans says you can have your mind transformed where you don't even think the thoughts that you used to think. Philippians 2 says you can have the mind of Christ. I'm going to tell you what I found in my own life. It's much easier to act like a Christian than it is to react like one. I act like a perfect Christian. Man, I come in here, brother, how are you? God bless you. Oh, it's good to see you. Oh, yeah. Oh, we're just blessed. I can act like a great Christian. I'm unbelievable how I act. I'm unbelievable Christian. Until somebody pulls out in front of me going 5 miles an hour. And then sign languages start coming up and words start. It's my reactions. I don't have no trouble with my actions. I got a lot of trouble with my reactions. See, let something go haywire and just instantly say, oh, God bless you. And you're just listening to praise music and you're on acting like Christian. And somebody's on their phone in front of you and the light turns green. See how spirit-filled you are right then. No, what's the matter with you idiots? Your reactions are incredible. Stop looking up here like I'm weird. I know let's just get all of it on the table today. You and me both. Let's just put it all out here, okay? We know each other. You're a jerk, and I know that. And the reason I'm very aware the fact that you're a jerk is because I am. The Bible says we all are jerkies. See, I know how to act like a Christian. I got it. I got it. I act very godly. But let somebody tell me they're going to be here at 8. I got up early. I got there to meet them, and they no-showed. It's my reactions that just get me. Let someone say a hurting, cutting thing to me. And my tongue is so quick. Before I didn't even know I remembered those words. And they're just right coming out of my mouth. You let somebody cut me or say something to me, and I'm telling you, I'm mean as a snake. And I can strike my temper. I can strike back so fast. I'm going to tell you, I can put you in your place in a New York second. Don't get in the shouting match with me. I'm good. I'm good at telling you off. See, it's my reactions. It just, dog. See, Jesus focused so much of his teaching on reconditioning our reflexes. Matthew 5, pray for those who persecute you. Now, I don't know if you know this. That's not a normal reaction. See, we're conditioned to respond much different. I'll tell you right now, the next time I see him, I can tell you. See, pray for those who persecute you. That is a reconditioning that takes place in our life. Luke 6, love your enemies. That's not a normal reflex. That's not a normal response. See, but we got to renew our mind, wash our mind. Matthew 5, bless those who curse you. That's not normal. It's sure not normal for me. Do something nice for somebody who's done something mean to you. Luke 6, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek. I've done slapped him 4 times before I can remember. Oh, yeah, it was my other cheek. Matthew 5, if any forces you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. See, it's a reconditioning of the stimuli to a desired response. Romans 12, 2. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. We got to memorize that verse. You hurt my feelings. I got a bigger, quicker hurt coming toward you right now. That's the behavior of the world. You jerk on me, I'll turn around and jerk the rug out from under you. That's the way the world does. Don't copy that behavior, but you are transformed by the renewing of your mind into a new person. Into a new person. Some of you are understanding what it is to be a new person. You look back on your life and you can't even remember being that person. So you know what it is to be a new person. Here's what I want us to see. In a few days after his denial, Jesus tells his friends in John 21, I'm going out to fish. Now, there's nothing wrong with fishing. Clearly, there's nothing wrong with fishing. But think about this. What did Peter do before following Jesus? He was a fisherman. So when Peter said, I'm going out to fish, what was he saying? I'm going back to my old lifestyle. See, he has an epic failure in his life. And how many times have we seen this? Friends, relatives, ourselves? I mean, there was an epic failure. And instead of coming out of that epic failure correctly, we throw in the towel on this Jesus deal. We tried it for 3 years. We tried this Jesus thing. I was in church. I was tithing. I was teaching Sunday school. I was doing everything. Man, I was there. An epic failure. And so what's Peter doing? I'm going back to my old lifestyle. There's an epic failure in my life. And so my life following Jesus is over. I'm going back to my old way of life. And that's what happens for a lot of people. And here's where the enemy gets us. No doubt it was an epic failure. I'm not arguing that. Peter should have never, ever, never done that. But you got to understand, God was not finished with Peter just because of his epic failure.
God's not finished with you. Yeah, you blew it. I'm not making light of what you did, you sorry guy. I mean, you're terrible. That was horrible. I'm not making light of what you did, but what I'm telling you is God's not finished with Peter because he had an epic failure in his life. And it's very important for us to see. Turn to John 21. This is too important for me to just tell you what it says. You need to see this for yourself. John 21, verse 3. I'm going out to fish. Peter told him, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. You're not ever going to succeed in life when you go back on what... How many times do you see people, they have a failure, they go back to their life, well, I'm just going back into drugs, I'm going back on the streets, I'm just going back to this, I'm just going back to my... I'm going back to the way I used to live. You ain't going to catch nothing. Your life won't prosper you. It won't work out. It's not going to prosper. You're not going to be blessed. But here, and here's the real problem. And how many times have we seen it right here in this church? The real problem is when you blow it and you leave church and you walk away from God, you take some of your friends with you. How many times have you seen it? How many times right now as I'm preaching, you can put names and faces of what I'm talking about. They quit. They got mad. They got offended. They got hurt. What? I don't know. Whatever. Epic failure. They're out the door, and they take some of their friends with them. You see it happen all the time. Verse 4. Early in the morning, Jesus standing on the shore, but his disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, we didn't caught anything. He said, well, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. How far is the other side of the boat? I mean, for crying out loud, how far? What, 6 feet? So all of the fish in that whole place were right here, and there wasn't one fish, not one, over here. And they, I mean, from right here to right here, the whole net was full. I love reading the word. Peter was willing to change sides. Peter's willing to change sides. Okay, we've got to change sides. You went back to your old life. Are you willing to change sides? Are you willing today to change sides? Go on, I know you want to clap. Give the Lord a hand clap. That's good. This is good. I don't ever want to preach better than you're listening. Get involved. I'm having a great time with this. Your miracle is always closer than you think it is. And you think I can never be restored. I can never be right. I can never, this will never be fixed. I can never be blessed. I can never prosper. And your miracle is only a matter of whoop, do right here. Whoo, oh my. So I'm more talking about just change sides. Just change sides. Your miracle is a lot closer than you think it is in your life. Just change sides. Yeah, it's real good. You won't believe this. Verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said, I want you to look at this. Read this. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Good Lord. Peter's hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. I love you. I love you. I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. You got to see this. Yeah, I mean, this is too good. How many times did Jesus ask this very same question? Peter, come on, man. I mean, we're talking three times. Do you think somehow, now I know Jesus didn't grow up studying Pavlov and the dog deal, but... Do you think somehow Jesus understood about conditioning and response and conditioning a reflex? Think Jesus might have had a handle on that before Pavlov figured it out. Let's go back. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? What did Jesus do? He restored Peter three times. He restored Peter three times. Is this the neatest thing you ever heard? Well, we're not done yet. Verse 4. You got to see this. Early in the morning, some of your translations say at dawn, Jesus was there on the shore. When do roosters crow? Now, we're talking 24 hours there is in the day. And Jesus could have went out and met them any hour of the day. But it was early that next, at dawn on this morning. Let me just ask for those country people in here. When is the only time? When do roosters crow? Oh, this is too cool. Jesus was reconditioning Peter's response in such a way he'll never forget it. Now, for the rest of Peter's life, every time a rooster crows, every time dawn comes around, what will Peter's thinking now be? What will Peter be thinking about now every dawn? Every dawn. See, Jesus wants to come to you right where you are. He wants to heal you right where you are. And he wants to recondition your response in life to what you've done and where you've been. Dawn and a rooster crow once triggered guilt. And now dawn and a rooster crow is a daily reminder of God's grace in your life. Epic failure, absolutely no doubt. But a new chapter begins for Peter. A new chapter begins for Peter. And we read Acts, and still today, people are affected by Peter's life after his epic failure. Church, an epic failure in your life does not have to send you back to your old lifestyle. An epic failure can be changed into the thing that now motivates you toward your future. Yes, no doubt, you had an epic failure. We're not making light of that, and I'm not telling you it was no big deal. But all through the Bible, we read about men and women of God that God used mightily, and we see an epic failure in their past. First half of the book of Acts is about Peter. The second half of the book of Acts is about Saul, name changed to Paul. Saul oversaw the capture and the imprisonment and the stoning death of Christians just for being a Christian. Now, I don't know if you thought much about it, and I encourage you not to, but think just a little about watching somebody be stoned, just pelted by rocks. And them there, and just until they finally die. You talking about nightmares. You talking about a gruesome thing in your past to have to live through and carry. It's just a heavy weight to bear. You talk about something that you've got to see and relive over and over and over in your life. That was an epic failure to torment you of epic failures right here. You see Stephen looking up and staring at you in the eyes as these rocks are hitting him, and you wake up in the middle of the night seeing that thought. But Jesus appeared to Saul on the Damascus Road, and his thinking was reconditioned to a different response to what used to be a horrible nightmare is now a motivating testimony in his life. No doubt, Peter never forgot denying Jesus three times, but no doubt, Peter never forgot the risen Lord appearing to him on the shore of that lake and forgiving him three times. From that moment on, we never read about Peter suffering over his epic failure ever again. We don't ever read about Peter. We don't ever read about Paul going in for counseling. They can't get over it. They can't get over it. They've got mental health issues, and they go in for counseling every Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock for the next 6 years. We never read about that. There was a reconditioning of their response, and they became a new creature that had a new stimuli that would ring that bell and call. Are you hearing this? Today, you've got epic failures in your life. Recondition you a different response. And you do that by using the Word of God in your life. At dawn, when the rooster crows in your life, you remember at dawn Jesus standing on the bank and calling out to you. Don't act like that story hadn't happened for you. It's happened for everybody in here. Jesus stood on the bank and he called out to me. I remember in my life, Jesus called out to me. Jesus called, where I was, Jesus called out to me. Where were you when Jesus called out to you? Where were you when Jesus appeared to you? No doubt the devil wants to continue to throw up your failure. No doubt the devil wants to throw up a past failure in your life, but you immediately remember the time when Jesus called out to you. When the devil throws up epic failure to you, you immediately throw up God's forgiveness to him. Jesus has appeared to you, he's called you, and don't ever, ever forget it. Whatever you're going through in your past today, whatever epic failure you have had in your past, let's allow Jesus to recondition your response. Let's allow Jesus to appear to you, recondition your past mistake, so that past mistake is the thing that pushes you closer to the Lord. It's not the thing that makes you want to turn around and go back to your old lifestyle. God's not finished with Peter. God was not finished with Paul, and God's not finished with you. Y'all stand with me.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.